From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, interdimensional communications with the other side. Emerging artist bumper music tonight, too, for the first couple hours. Go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Lex has posted all their websites. Great artists, by the way. I am amazed at the talent in Canada and the United States. Here's what's happening, and here we go again. North Korea warning that it would make a preemptive and offensive nuclear strike in response to joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises that began on Monday. The news was announced in a statement by North Korea. Now, the words are typical around this time of annual military exercises, but tensions this year are even higher than normal following recent action at the United States. An ISIS terrorist on Sunday detonated an explosive-laden fuel truck in bumper-to-bumper traffic at a security checkpoint south of Baghdad, killing at least 47 people. More than 70 people were wounded in that blast. Now, at least 39 of the people were civilians, the remainder police. Biggest mistake we ever made was getting rid of Saddam Hussein, Jerry Corsi, don't you think?
Well, George, it certainly destabilized Iraq. Iraq is now really three separate countries. It's got a largely dominant Shiite majority. The Sunnis are a minority, and the Kurds in the north. It's really three separate countries. And Iran is in Iraq right now, gaining authority and power with the Shiite government. I mean, what we've done in destabilizing Iraq by getting rid of Assad is allow Iran to gain control of Iraq.
Can you imagine, Jerry, you're stuck in traffic, which is bad enough, and then all of a sudden some lunatic blows everything up? Jeez.
Well, George, and this is one of a series of bombing attacks in recent days with the suicide bombing near Baghdad, around Baghdad. And what ISIS is letting everybody know in Iran is that they can hit now even the capital city of Iraq, and it pretty much means that ISIS could hit almost anywhere in Iraq they want. It's a clear indication of ISIS saying, we're still here, we're still powerful, yep. We haven't been defeated.
47 people. Jerry, thanks. Appreciate it. The global economy is headed for a storm as faith in policymakers dwindles, according to the stark warning from one of the world's most respected financial institutions. The uneasy calm in financial markets last year has given way to turbulence. According to the Bank for International Settlements, known as the Central Bank for the World's Central Banks, they say that this in their quarterly report, financial markets are losing faith in the healing power of central banks and their latest policy weapon, negative interest rates to boost the world's main economies, may not work, they say. Nancy Reagan, the widow of President Ronald Reagan and passionately devoted keeper of his flame, has died Sunday morning of congestive heart failure. She was 94 years old. The former First Lady died at her home in Bel Air near Los Angeles. She's set to be buried at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California, next to her husband. Prior to the funeral, there will be an opportunity for members of the public to pay their respects at the library. Nancy Reagan dead at the age of 94. Raymond Tomlinson, you might not know his name. He was the inventor of the modern email and the selector of the little at symbol. He has died. He was 74 years old. He once said in a company interview that he created email mostly because it seemed like a neat idea. The first email was sent between two machines that were set side by side. Boy, we have come a long way. An Ohio man who killed his roommate and ate part of his brain almost 40 years ago was denied parole for the sixth time. I would hope so. David Allen Chapin, 60 years old, was deemed unsuitable for release by the Ohio Parole Board. Florida Senator Marco Rubio has won the Republican primary in Puerto Rico, his second victory in the 2016 race. Rubio won Minnesota's caucus on Super Tuesday, struggling to keep his campaign alive through March 15th when his home state holds a primary in which the winner takes all 99 delegates in Florida. Meanwhile, of course, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz got a split decision from Republican voters in four states Saturday. That did not dramatically change the nomination race yet, but did expose unrest among conservatives who want an alternative to the celebrity real estate mogul as their initial nominee. And meanwhile, Hillary Clinton scored an overwhelming win over Bernie Sanders in Louisiana's primary. That lets her maintain a solid lead for the Democratic nomination, even as the Vermont senator won caucuses in Kansas and in Nebraska. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com, for his analysis on just what's going on. What do you think, John?
Well, I think with respect to the Republicans first, I would say that, you know, the front runners are still the front runners. I mean, you know, it is true that, you know, they split the four contests. But what is also true, and this is the most significant part of this, is that Cruz had a firewall all through the South. And that was where he was supposed to, you know, rack up, you know, many of his delegates to get himself a, you know, a commanding lead. It didn't work. And Trump ran through the South and basically knocked off state after state. And another one's coming up, I think, on Tuesday, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And so the problem with the Cruz campaign going forward, I mean, Ted Cruz keeps telling, you know, voters to join his campaign and, you know, let, you know, get behind him, is that the states that lie ahead are in the upper Midwest, the Northeast. I'm talking about delegate-rich states like Illinois, and you got Michigan coming up in a couple of days, and you know eventually New York and Pennsylvania and so forth. And these large delegate-rich states in the Northeast and the Midwest, like Illinois, are not going to go for Cruz, and certainly California will not go for Cruz, which is the biggest prize of them all.
Right.
So I think going forward, he's got a real problem.
Well, he may have a real problem, but the race just, to me, John, at this point, if you were to tell me to make a bet with you, let's make a bet, by the way, I think it could be a brokered convention. And Mitt Romney now says, though I don't think he's the candidate of the future for the Republicans anymore, he said he'd take the nomination if they gave it to him.
Well, I think that shows how dirty Mitt's speech was, you know, out of Salt Lake City. How can you get more dirty? But also, you know, the one candidate who refers to himself as the grown-up is indeed a very tricky grown-up, a dirty trickster. His name is John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who's basically said, oh, he would look forward to a broker convention because Kasich has won nothing. And he knows that he has no path to the nomination other than a broker convention, and they would never pick Kasich in a million years. So here's the dilemma for the Republican Party. And Rush Limbaugh just talked about this today, and I thought that his interview actually on Fox News was actually quite revealing, and I think right on the money. He said that they're really the intent to disenfranchise Republican primary voters in a backroom, smoky backroom at a broker convention is not realistic. And as much as conservative establishment, you know, the Bushes and, you know, the mm-hmm. Reince Priebuses and the others running the party right now don't like Trump, they know that, you know, that here's everything that they've looked for in a candidate, you know, and couldn't get over the last, 8 years. And that is a candidate who can appeal to a very wide swath of independent voters and even get those so-called Reagan Democrats to come back into the GOP fold. Trump has the potential of doing that, and yet they're lashing out on him, especially Romney and Bob Dole and, you know, the other party establishment. So I think eventually what will happen is the ducks will line up behind Trump. It's just going to take some time.
Well, let's see
if they put Rubio away in Florida, which I think will happen. I don't think he'll win Florida on the 15th, I think, then the ducks will start to line up behind Trump.
It'll all come down to delegates, John. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon enough. So have you ever been on a plane and somebody asks for peanuts and the flight attendant says, sorry, somebody on the plane has an allergy to peanuts where we can't give them out? That does happen. Well, the effects of eating peanut products as a baby to avoid the risk of allergy later on in life have been backed up now by new research. In 2015, a study claimed early exposure to peanut products could cut the risk of allergy by 80%. Researchers are saying long-lasting allergy protection can be sustained even when the snacks are later avoided for about a year. But I got to tell you, I'm not sure I would have the guts, knowing that my little child had an allergy to peanuts, to give them peanuts just to hope that they'll grow up and not be allergic to it. I'd be panicking about what would happen right now. Kid swells up and everything else. And talking about peanuts, former peanut farmer and former President Jimmy Carter no longer needs treatment for the cancer diagnosis that he revealed in August. The 91-year-old Carter apparently shared the news of one of his regular Sunday school classes at the Baptist Church in his hometown of Plains, Georgia. Carter announced in August that he had been diagnosed with melanoma, that's a skin cancer, that had spread to his brain, and laid out a treatment plan including a round of targeted radiation at the brain tumors and doses of an immune-boosting drug every 3 weeks. That drug is called Keytruda. It was approved not long before Carter's announcement and apparently helps the body seek out and destroy cancer cells. But what else is going on? We had a story a few weeks ago about stem cells in cancer helping leukemia patients. 90% went into remission. Up next, Christian Wild, of course, from myheartbook.com on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Christian Wild is an author, researcher. He has devoted years to researching and reporting on issues that have helped our Coast to Coast listeners, too, specifically. Christian will help us understand how all kinds of ingredients and more studies can help people. His website, of course, is myheartbook.com. He is an author as well, Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke as well. And Christian, first of all, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Well, it's good to be with you, George. You know, I just talked to a friend of yours. You've got so many people that love you. I'm talking to a man named Mel. He lives in the outback of Alaska. Mel was sightless from birth. He lives in a little trailer. And he gets his mail and he gets his provisions twice a year by helicopter.
Wow.
He has never missed your show.
Wow.
The first day you went
well,
on.
Well, hello, Mel. I hope all is
say
well.
Say hi to Mel. And Susan in Davis, California, she's taking care of her 93-year-old husband. She tells me they have never missed your show.
Well, that's beautiful. You know, Christian, so much is going on in all kinds of health issues, specifically treating cancer. We're talking about stem cells and everything else. I don't know where to begin. It's all over the place lately.
Yeah, let me start here. Let
all
me
right.
see if we could go right here. I wonder how many of us, first of all, think of cancer as a disease of the last 100, maybe 200 years. But I have very clear photographs on my site tonight taken by archaeologists of skeletons who died 3,000, 7,000 years ago, whose bones were riddled with cancerous
oh,
tumors.
Oh, boy. That's interesting.
Even Hippocrates was reporting cancer 350 B.C. So, my friend, I think this scourge of mankind has been with us for a very, very long time. And haven't we, for our lifetimes, our parents and their parents' lifetimes, hoped and prayed for a cure for cancer, and yet a single cure, as a one-size-fits-all solution, never appeared, and may not have even been feasible or realistic in the first place, because cancer is such a complex disease. It's able to mutate and strike many molecular targets at the same time, signaling molecules and pathways. Not just one, like many chronic diseases, just one pathway. And according to MD Anderson's research, turmeric curcumin can selectively modulate multiple cell signaling pathways linked to inflammation and survival, growth, invasion, angiogenesis, and metastasizing of cancer cells. Cancer is a very intelligent disease. How else has it so successfully outmaneuvered and sidestepped the billions of dollars in attempts that science has brought against it? In spite of all that we do, the statistics are hard to deny. One in two of us will develop some type of cancer in our lifetimes. So that's why
50%.
The breakthroughs that we're going to be talking about tonight are proving to be so important, and why cancer may be meeting its match finally.
And we know, like country Western singer Joey Feek died a few days ago. She was 40 years old. She had cervical cancer, Christian, that then hit her colon. And this is what's so sad about cancer. It takes its form in all different ways. I mean, you've liver cancer, leukemia. We just heard about cervical cancer. It just goes into the bone. It's all over the place. I mean,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
It is an insidious disease, and you, I know, have had personal experience in your own family.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter had, he was metastasized, he had liver cancer, and he had melanoma that had spread to the brain. In August of last year, he had this new treatment, which we're going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm. This drug.
Why everybody's so excited, the PD-1. He had it in the 20th of August, and the 7th, I think, of December, he was completely free on the MRI of his cancer. That's for a 91-year-old man.
Could we say that's a miracle?
You and I can say that. And, you know, the physicians, you know, they're not using the word cure, but if you listen real closely, you can almost hear it. That's how excited they are. So it means that, well, here's an example. When you hear information from leaders in the field like this, just a couple examples. Steven Rosenberg, chief of surgery at the National Cancer Institute, described the early results with immunotherapy as an extraordinary success, reporting 94% of participants suffering from ALL, acute lymphoblastic leukemia. They said their symptoms vanished completely. In another study, 80% of patients with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, more than half, ended up free of all symptoms. The lead researcher, which is, I think his name was Stanley Riddell, or Riddle, Riddell, I guess. He's from the Fred Hutchinson's Cancer Research Center. He said getting response in this range among these very advanced patients is unprecedented and extraordinary. So what's different, George? What's different this time that the medical profession is now putting this emphasis on treating the patient's immune system instead of treating the actual disease, which has always been the approach before?
The approach, yeah, exactly.
And you have been talking with all of your experts on the show forever about our immune system.
Yes.
How important it is to build it up. And then, unfortunately, we go in and have chemotherapy, which has been the best that medical science has had to offer us. And they tell you, we're going to destroy your immune system in order to save you.
I had a researcher at the City of Hope at an event I was at several years ago tell me about chemotherapy. And she said, she looked me right in the eyes and said, it is the worst way to treat cancer, but it's our only way to treat cancer right now.
You got that. They were totally right.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a physician in the country that would want to give anybody chemotherapy.
But that's changing now.
It's changing. I'm going to share some stuff with you tonight that's going to blow your mind.
This is just, it really is, it's exciting. And you know what? Have you done research yet into cannabis and its abilities with its oil to fight cancer as well?
You know, but I heard a lot about it, so that means I will look into it.
That'll be on your next program with us. We'll take a look at that.
Yeah, listen, George, chemotherapy was invented about 75 years ago.
It's archaic. Archaic.
Yeah, and they used a drug called methotrexate. Now, you and I know how important it is to do everything to build our immune system, and suddenly you have to do a 180. You have to put your mind out of the picture, because what they're telling you goes against all conventional wisdom and everything you've been taught. We're going to destroy your immune system in order to gain you a few months, maybe years. It's the best they've had to offer. So therefore, you had to do it. But, you know, I'm going to share some stuff with you in a little bit.
All right, and I want to go through all these different possible advances. I also want to get your reaction to the late Steven Jobs from Apple Computer, Christian, when we come back, because he had pancreatic cancer, which, of course, is one of the worst you can get. Mm-hmm. But they said it was fixable, it was operable. And he went all natural for a long, long time. And they said he went way too long doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure he was aware of some of the things you're going to talk about tonight, mm-hmm. because with his wealth, He should have been getting stem cells. He should have been doing these things. So stay with
Absolutely.
Us. I'm going to ask you.
When
I'm
you're in that position, what do you have to lose? He certainly should have had the Whipple surgery that would have bought him time. I can name. I don't want to name them.
Well, just hold on. We're going to come back with you in just a moment. Welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Christian Wild as well. Christian's website is myheartbook.com. For those of you who don't have computers, and some of you don't, here's a toll-free number for you, 1-866-STEM-123, 1-866-STEM-123. They'll help you out there. Hey, Christian, let's talk a little bit about Steve Jobs and then go into your amazing research that you did for us for tonight. So, I mean, here's a guy who had unlimited resources, incredible wealth, and he decided to simply go natural. He ate for years, all he ate was fruit, and he changed that a little bit, but I mean, he just wanted to go total natural, total holistic. That was a mistake.
How long did he live after?
After several years. Several years. I mean, once it hit his pancreas, it raced through him.
The history of pancreatic cancer is so devastating. The amount of time that you have, maybe 14 months on the outside. But I know people, including... The Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg, she was diagnosed years ago with pancreatic cancer. The operatic soprano, Marilyn Horne, I don't know why she'd be mentioning her name, but she's done well, I think, 7 or 8 years, maybe longer. So whatever they're doing is what Steve Jobs should have done.
Mm-hmm.
But of all the cancers, that's one of the most treacherous. And yet, this new immunotherapy is being applied on it also.
So I would do it all, if God forbid that ever happened.
I
would do the natural, but I would also do conventional, and I would want the new revolutionary techniques that you're going to talk about tonight. Things that Carter went through.
Listen, Louis Lanier. He's a PhD, chair of the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at University of California, San Francisco. He explained some of this new information in this manner. And he was talking about chemotherapy because you and I were just talking about it. In the past with cancers, he said, you had to cut them, burn them, or poison them.
Yeah.
Now we can use the immune system to attack them and to do so effectively. And how big is that? And a recent headline, George, from the Daily Mail, one of the UK's leading newspapers, read, revolutionary treatment that will save thousands, hailed as the biggest breakthrough since chemotherapy and will replace chemotherapy within 5 years. Trial patients who were only expected to survive months have gone on to live normal lives. No chemo. No radiation, no side effects.
They had a foot in the grave.
Yeah, they did. You know, as negative as this whole chemotherapy and radiation treatment is, we still have to say that it has given some more time for families to spend together. They bought some time that they wouldn't have had. But even the doctors, if you saw that McGill University study, they asked, I forget, 1,700, or I wish I had the number in front of me, how many physicians, the question, if you were diagnosed or you diagnosed yourself with cancer, would you have chemotherapy? And I think 77% or 80% said, no, they wouldn't. They would go alternative.
I would, too.
But I know at MD Anderson, they're treating, I think it's probably now around 2,000 with just turmeric.
That's it?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. And when did I tell you about turmeric? How many years ago?
You're the guy that got me. You're the guy that pointed me in that direction, and like a good dog, I went out there and spent 15 years studying curcumin and turmeric, and that's why I
was right.
And got the award for I owe that to you.
Well, you know, there was an obscure little article that I saw somewhere out of the, you know, India Times or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was just talking about the curry and curcumin and turmeric. And I went, gosh, there's got to be something to that. The incidence of cancer, very low there.
Lowest in the world is in India. So the idea, George, is not to need any of these drastic therapies that we're talking about. If you can keep cancer from getting started in the first place, and if it is, judging by the 5,600 studies, particularly UCLA studies, if the answer, and MD Anderson, if the answer, in part, we're not saying it's a cure for anything, well, turmeric is the answer, and not just curcumin by itself.
It should be.
More and more that I read, it's a combination of the plant and the extract together.
Well, see, what's amazing is, you know, you're not a doctor, and you're not making recommendations here.
No, I never do.
You can't. But you're a researcher. You're an author. You're a news person. And you dig up these stories. Of course, you have to be pointed sometimes. Mm-hmm. But once you find out this information, it truly is electrifying, isn't it?
It is, because I learn from the, I'm not shy. I work with the world leaders in some of these different fields. If it was cardiovascular, and I'm very honored that they even talked to me.
You have helped people who have had heart issues on this program.
Lots of them. We have helped.
Well,
Coast to Coast has helped them.
You've sent them to doctors. They've had stem cells. You've prolonged some of their lives.
It's really been amazing. Yeah.
How many years did we prolong for Billy? At least two.
No. He was 6 years.
6 years.
Seven heart
he
attacks.
Could barely walk when he called us. He could barely walk three steps.
Yeah.
And you were able to get him in a program. Tell us what you did for him.
Well, he called in one night. I was talking about, that was when I was writing the book, Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, for the 5.5 million people dying of congestive heart failure in America. And I'm pointing out, after working with Columbia University and University of Minnesota and UCLA and several others, and meeting the patients and the doctors, it appeared that people in heart failure can have their own stem cells and be totally revived. So how many have we had on the show that are still living?
Remarkable.
So Billy had seven heart attacks. When he called in, he asked if Tom would have me call him. And he said at that time he had five heart attacks.
At that time was the walking dead.
He was the walking dead. He said, I'm no option. They don't want to talk to me. There's nothing more they can do for me. So I said, Billy, I'll stick with you. It took about a year and a half. And I finally, and in the course of the year and a half, he went from five heart attacks to seven. So I got him into the University of Utah, Dr. Amit Patel, one of the best in the world. And he called me and he said, Christian, I think we're going to help your friend. He said, I'm going to do a procedure on him that's rarely done. And then I'm going to load him up with his own stem cells. And they did. And Billy was doing great. And then about 3 years after that, three, 4 years after that, he calls me to say, I have, of all things, so we're talking about it tonight. He said, I've been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, I have to come out and take you to dinner. I said, Billy, you don't owe me a thing, but, the thought is wonderful. So he came out here, and we spent some time together, and he went home and passed away. But he was very grateful.
And I had a chance to meet him, thanks.
Yes, you did. And he used to think about you, talk about you all the time. His friend, George Noory.
That was one of my teary moments, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did meet him. And there's another fellow that I'm working with right now. I think it's interesting. I've not met him. I was just on the phone with him. They told him he's 58. They told him he was a no-option patient. And I asked him some questions, and I said, you're not a no-option patient. Go back to your doctors and tell them you're not a no-option patient, and this is why. So he goes back and tells them, and they agree they're going to do this. So he sends me an email. He says, I've had my fourth treatment, and for the first time in 10 years, I can see my veins, and I'm feeling stronger.
That's wonderful.
So then I said, find out now what your heart ejection fraction is. And he says, it's 25. I said, you're not going to make it. you're not going to make it. Go back and ask them why they haven't given you a defibrillator and a pacemaker. And don't leave till they give you one. So he gets it. He's got the combination. So now I'm working to get him into a stem cell trial.
Beautiful.
To replenish that heart. He couldn't have got into that trial unless I could get him the...
He could have been dead by then.
Yeah, I had to get him that... that defibrillator and that pacemaker.
So with cancer, and we're going to take calls next hour with Christian Wild, I'm going to do something a little differently. Not only can anybody just call and ask Christian a question, but if you know of someone who has had cancer, if you have cancer, I definitely want you to call with that story and just tell us what life has been like for them or you, if you would. I went through it for several years because of my sister who has since passed on. And she was very hesitant in doing anything outside of conventional medicine. I wish she would have tried some of the stem cells. Things popped up a little too late for her, Christian.
You got a minute for me, George?
Yeah.
I'm going to explain how this whole immunotherapy thing is working.
Okay.
So how can it be explained in easy terms, immunotherapy? Well, every morning, our little immune soldiers, they get dressed in the morning and they go, they report for work in our bloodstream. They're in your bloodstream, George, they're in mine, and everybody out there listening.
That's right.
Now, these little soldiers seek out foreign invaders, viruses, germs, pathogens, infections.
Every day.
Of course, cancer cells. That's what they do, and they destroy them. However, the cancer cells start dividing and mutating, and they overwhelm the immune system. When I said it's an intelligent disease, cancer cells have shrouded themselves in a biological protective stealth covering that our immune cells do not recognize. They go right by them, and they keep building and building and building and attaching one to another until they form the tumor that we're all afraid of. So our stem cells are not able to identify them. So suddenly at the MD Anderson Cancer Center, a doctor, Jim Allison, has a project that he's been working on. It's his brainchild. He figures if we could trick that cancer cell into dropping its shield,
mm-hmm.
just long enough for our immune cells to spot it. Because if they can spot it, if they can find it, they can kill it.
It's like Star Wars and the force field.
Exactly what it's like.
My gosh.
Yeah, George Lucas, I'm sure, had a hand in this. So anyway, that's what they're doing. And now at Duke University, glioblastoma, which you know so much about, they are just knocking the hell out of it using the same autoimmune
And all the cells do this. They all seem to drop their guard, don't they?
They drop their guard, and they also have a built-in memory. Once they've dropped it, it stays dropped so they can get hit again.
Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't go back up. It doesn't go back up to defend itself.
So immunotherapy at Duke, where they take a polio virus and they deactivate the virus so it can't give you polio and it can't kill you, and that's what they're using there among so many, many different kinds of cancers. In other words, this is one shot that can work on everything.
So, you know, unlike, let's say, chemo or radiation, where they bombard the tumor specifically, we know that cancer is throughout. If somebody's got cancer, they've got it throughout their entire blood system. I mean, it's everywhere. So
we all are born with cancer cells. So every morning, our little guys are out there zapping these cancer cells. And as long as they can stay ahead of it, that's one of the reasons as we get older, our immune system isn't as strong as it was. And so we're more vulnerable. But all that we know to do about not smoking, about eliminating toxic foods and chemicals in our bodies, in our environment, et cetera, all that we do is to maintain a stronger immune system. And so here they come along and say, we're going to do something different now. Well, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to treat the immune system instead of treating the disease like we always have. It's a whole new concept.
Why is it, though, that we talked about this 13 years ago and they're beginning to do it now.
I don't know.
Now, we're not doctors. My gosh, we're not doctors. We're not researchers. But we talked about hitting your immune system and boosting it 13 years ago.
That's right. And turmeric is one of the best immune boosters. So it hits 31. I've said this before, but MD Anderson allowed me to put their circle of the 31 pathways to cancer and how turmeric negates and eliminates them and minimizes them.
Are doctors beginning to say this works?
Well, they are right now. I don't think any of them can look at what's been happening with this immunotherapy. You can't deny it. I read you some of the leaders that are making those kind of statements. Dr. Henry Friedman at Duke University says he's seen nothing like this in his 37 years. And the man who the brainchild at Duke is Matthias Gromier, and he spent 25 years developing this vector transference, in other words, polio. They could use the HIV virus. I'm hearing somebody else is using the malaria virus.
Huh.
I have to give you a story, George. We got time?
No, not really. I only have about a minute and a half. We'll have to do it next hour.
I can do it in the next hour?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're here with me for 2 hours. I'm not the...
You're not cheap.
You're not here for just an hour. Did you think you're only here for an hour?
Well, time goes by when I'm having fun with you, so I don't know.
Christian's website, by the way, is myheartbook.com, and a toll-free number to help you out is 866-STEM-123, 866-STEM-123. Christian, when you got involved in this as a writer, why did you get involved in this? Miracle stem cell heart repair. What did you see that got you to do this?
I was thinking back a week ago. Somebody came to me, a friend. He said, I'm dying of prostate cancer. This is 1985. And they told me there's nothing. They're going to have to remove my this and do this and do this. And I said, well, I don't know. Let me make a call. I've heard about something called proton beam at Loma Linda University. So I get a hold of the top doctor, and we talk. And he said, is your friend, has it gone in the bone? I said, I'll have to find out. I'll get an MRI for you. I send him the MRI. He says, send your friend down. He's not going to lose his prostate or anything. And that was all those years ago. They treated him with proton beam. And when I saw him 3 years ago, I said, after all these years, you're still alive. How are you doing? He said, I just had my PSA checked. It was 0.1.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then I get a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, trying to describe on the phone some gurgling in his stomach and then down his leg and all that. And he keeps putting his phone to it. He says, can you hear that? I said, no, I don't hear that. But anyway, so I know a doctor a cardiologist in your area. I think you ought to go see him. He went to see him, and he had a 6.5 aneurysm, and they saved him. So I started not even consciously, and then, of course, I wrote hidden. I mortgaged my house.
You did?
I spent 5.5 years writing hidden causes of heart attack and stroke.
Hold on, Christian. We'll come back for more in just a moment.